Good morning, Bubba.
Man, that is, thank God for Google, man.
that was Wikipedia, Bubba. Yeah.
you can go in there and change some of this, okay?
I really should go in there and edit it. I can make that sound a whole lot better, man.
Kelly Holcomb, I told him about his Wikipedia page. It had him with twins and four kids. Well, he doesn't have twins, and he only has three kids. And that was on his Wikipedia page.
Well, you know, Bubba,
yeah, I wonder who edited it. That was some wishful thinking on somebody's part there.
Bubba, I could have added in there that a young Bubba Miller showed up at a coach's breakfast when I was working at WIZO in Franklin with Coach Jimmy Gentry.
You put that on the Wiki page.
Okay,
man.
I'll do that.
Well, Bubba, we wanted you in, of course, Vol for Life, Florida Week. We wanted to have you in for all the Vol fans for back when they did have success against Florida.
Well, I don't really know how to rebut that, Greg. If I had some ammunition, I'd be fired.
Well,
I'm afraid I don't.
Let me give you something I heard. I'm not from 1990 to 2012. Nine of the 12 champions, whether the Florida or Tennessee, every time these teams played, both of them were in the top 15, I think three times in the top five, national champions both ways. So we know about the tradition, but Florida-Tennessee was the rivalry of the 90s.
It was. That was that prime 2:30 time slot that everybody wanted to see, and it pretty much determined the East, you know, before Georgia kind of came along. But you know, for a long time there, that it was Tennessee and Florida in the East, and you know, it's not out of the realm of possibility we can get back to that. But man, that's going to be a long time coming.
Hey, Bubba, this is Coach Bubba Spears. Let's get back to something that really got you started back at Brentwood Academy, playing for Coach Flatt. Tell us a little bit about that time. And, you know, it's always great to see a Bubba make it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, my gosh.
Well, Coach Spears, I really appreciate that. And I really have always had a lot of admiration and respect for you and what you did for many years over there at Stratford and helping a lot of young men get a good start in life. But and then, you know, piggybacking on that thought, that's pretty much what, you know, having the opportunity to play for a guy like Carlton Flatt. Just the discipline and the demand, and you know, he would, you know, as my late mother used to say, you know, when he scheduled these games against teams that we may or may not should have played, and she would, her famous thing, she said, you know, Carlton Flatt convinced you boys y'all could walk on water, and that pretty much what it was. You know, there was a level of preparation. You know, he was far ahead of his time as far as just innovation of the passing game at the high school level and scouting and just so many of the things that we did in the weight room that are just so commonplace now. When we were doing that stuff in the late 80s and early 90s, a lot of it was unheard of. So he was just truly a pioneer in his time.
Bob, I also want to talk about a couple assistants he had that were just terrific coaches. Ray Dalton, Jimmy Gentry, I know you had a lot of coaching from those guys and that really influenced you in your life.
Well, it's just so rare, particularly nowadays, that you have a couple guys in your set. I mean, those guys were for the better part of 25 years, which just doesn't happen. You know, you see high school coaches and assistant coaches change as much as they do on the professional or collegiate level. So, you know, when you talk about a system, man, there was a system there that it didn't matter who the players were. You know, there was a system in place that was going to work. And when we had good players, we had really good teams. And when we had okay players, we still had pretty good teams because there was a system in place. So, you know, those guys had a trust amongst themselves, had a trust amongst the parents that you don't see in today's game. I mean, you know, I can tell you numerous stories about those guys and some of the things that they did and some of their unique tactics that would get you locked up in today's world. But there was a trust there from the parents that, hey, these guys have my kids' best interests at heart, and there was just, you know, there was rarely any issues.
Gary Forsak, your Legend of the Week, Bubba Miller, Vol for Life. Bubba, you know, we've done a lot of radio together back in the day and I've used this term, and I always credit you because you've credited someone else, and I think you know where I'm going, and you go from starting like 46 out of 47 games, all SEC, all of the different things that went in it, captain a couple years of the team, and then you undrafted, but you go to the Eagles, you stick 6 years, you start every game in 2000. But I remember you telling me when you first got there, I don't know who it was, one of the coaches said, in the NFL, you got to remember there are rules and there are exceptions.
There's two types of players.
Yes.
There's rules and there's exceptions. Know which one you are.
And he told you were a rule, right?
It was implied. It was very much implied. And, you know. That's a good rule for life right there, you know? That's a good rule for life. But I still use that one, and I will assure you this, all five of my children know that very, very well.
Well, tell us about him. I mean, you're at soccer right now, right?
Yeah, I'm in Goodlettsville, a soccer tournament right now, and I got a couple, three playing soccer, and two out of the nest and three left to go to push out. So we're working our way through them.
Well, Bubba, I know this. I know a little bit more about your background when you was at BA. And I also know that you wrestled. And tell us the importance. You know, I try to tell people, you show me a wrestler that wants to play football, I'll tell him come on out.
You know, I have tried to encourage more people. You know, in today's world of specialization, you know, I watch these kids out here playing soccer, and 90% of them don't do any other sport, and I watch kids play football and don't do any other sport, and basketball don't do any other sport, and there's just so much value in cross training, number one, but just, you know, repetitive use injuries, and you do the same thing, you throw a baseball 12 months out of the year, or you kick a soccer ball, or you play volleyball, you're really setting yourself up for a lot of repetitive use injuries. And I really encourage people, man, to do multiple sports. And for me, it was wrestling. And I really credit wrestling more than any other thing that I ever did in my life would allow me to play, you know, start 4 years in the Southeastern Conference and play 7 years in the National Football League. And what it did for me, one, it provided me with just a base core strength, you know. Might not have gone in and set the world on fire with any of the weight room records, but, you know, you find a guy that could, you know, we had guys in Tennessee that could bench 500, 550, and I wasn't anywhere near that. But I tell you what, man, I challenged them to a push-up contest, and they could do 15, and I could do 70 because I had that, you know, I just really had that core strength. And which one in the real live game situation is going to pay more dividends for you? So, you know, wrestling more than anything else, I credit with helping me stay injury free for all those years. And, you know, finally it did finally catch up with me. But man, I really credit wrestling with learning how to roll, you know, the flexibility and learning how to fall and learning how to roll. I think it really kept me out of a lot of bad situations in football.
Bubba is a fellow University of Tennessee graduate. Please give me some positive news, I guess. Give me your state of the state on how you think the program is now under Josh Heupel.
You know, I really feel like it's you know, with having an athletic director there that was his guy at Central Florida, I think he's going to get the time that he needs. But man, I just tell people, man, you're just going to have to be patient, because nothing good's going to happen quick. I can assure you of that. Nothing good's going to happen quick. And, you know, we've been through a couple quick fix coaches here, and I think we should all have an attitude right now of just getting the program back to a good, strong foundational point where we can be competitive moving forward and not just have these one-year sparks or where we're excited to go to the Music City Bowl or excited to go to the Tax Slayer Bowl. You know, we want to get back to a point where we're relevant in the Eastern Division conversation every year. And man, it's going to take some time. I'm just, You know, you watch Florida last week, you look at Georgia, and you look around, look at Kentucky, you look around the SEC. We got a ways to go. And, man, if you love the big orange, keep loving them. But, man, we got a ways to go, man. There's just no way to put a positive spin on it.
During your Florida, your Tennessee Florida days, anything stick out for you in those four games you played against them?
You know, probably the most, man, I could tell you every detail of every game, man. My freshman year, we played them in Knoxville, and about halftime, Hurricane Andrew came in, and I remember being on the bottom of a pile. Literally, it was late in the third quarter, and I never had this happen to me before. But water, you know, I was laying face down on the ground with a bunch of guys on top of me, and water was coming inside of the ear holes of my helmet. Because so much water had come. I don't know if you remember that game or not, but, you know, that was definitely a memory. And then, you know, my junior year, they beat us pretty bad because we had lost our quarterback the first game of the season, and just they were really good. I think they beat us 31-0 in Knoxville. And then my senior year, we went to Gainesville and was up on them at the half, and it kind of, again, started raining, and the game got a little bit out of hand, and that was the only game we lost that year, and they went on to lose the national championship game, I believe, to Nebraska. So, you know, you're talking about, you know, a team that finished 12-1 and a team that beat a team that finished 12 or 11-1. So, you know, high level of football, man, a lot of good memories, and I just really look forward to the program getting back to that point.
Bubba, always great catching up with you, man. You know what I think of you. Hope you're doing well, the family and everything, and always great talking to you.
Good talking to you guys, man, and appreciate what you guys do to continue to promote, you know, high school football. It's very important. So, thank you guys for what you do.
All right, appreciate it, Bubba. Take care, buddy.
All right, see you.
All right, Bubba Miller. Just, well, Bubba and I have done a lot of radio over the years together, and just a
class act.
Absolutely,
he's a class
act.
And, absolutely.
He had a
heck of a player, guys.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, it's 6'1", undrafted, and, yeah. and you know, plays 7 years in the NFL and starts all but one game over. He was started as a freshman. He only missed one start in his career.
Absolutely.
That's unheard
UT,
of.
At UT, you know? From a freshman all the way through, and captained both his junior and senior years, as a matter of fact. So, anyway, always good to catch.